I want to share a message with you today, trying to wrap this series up on lukewarm. We've covered a lot of material, but we've seen a lot of advancement in people's lives. We've seen a lot of growth. We've seen the move of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in a greater dimension, and I'm excited about that. And I want to talk to you today on something that's super important. I've titled today's message, Beware of Vipers. Vipers, beware of them. They're deadly. Now, I'm not just talking about a snake. Now, I'm not talking in the natural realm of vipers. I'm talking in the realm of, if you want to call it symbolic interpretation of the Scripture or an allegory of the Scripture. But I'm talking about vipers. And vipers can represent many things. It can represent attitudes. It can represent people. It can represent situations. And I say beware of them because as you grow and continue to fan the flames of God's presence in your life, the viper wants to strike you to make sure that your growth would stop, that what God is doing in you would actually begin to go in reverse. Because there's nothing greater than the enemy, or what the enemy's plan is to not have you growing in the presence of God, not have you unction and function under the Holy Spirit, not having you, you know, advance in all those things that God wants to do in your life. Because if we know anything about the devil and what the Bible tells us, it's very simple. He comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. And the venom of a viper comes to kill and to destroy and to steal. And what's unique is that that's the plan of the enemy. And the greatest thing about that is that when you know the plan of the enemy, you know how to overcome it because of Jesus will give you the way. The Word of God will help you as those vipers try to pull you back from being who God called you to be. Can I tell you something? Each one of you has a call, a plan, and a purpose in this life. You have a plan, a call, and a purpose in this life. And that plan and that call is to advance, to move forward, not to be held back. And so I want to deal with beware of the vipers because there are things, there are situations, there are circumstances, there's people that want to hold you back from where God wants you to go. And they want to attach themselves and inject the venom that debilitates, that cripples, that holds back, that steals what God is trying to do. And if you would open your ears today in the Spirit and you'd begin to listen to what God would speak to you, you will see how God will release and gives us the ability to be just like Taylor Swift. We got to shake it off. Shake, shake, shake. No, don't pretend you don't listen to the radio. I mean, she's the number one singer in the world. Taylor, shake it off. Because even she says, players are going to play, and haters are going to hate. You just got to shake it off. Shake, shake, shake it off. And that's what we have to do. When the viper attaches itself to us, we have to shake it off. See, let me tell you a story. There's this man named Paul. Great man of God. And see, Paul's life is just full of trials and tribulations. I mean, it's like he goes from being like the man who just wants to destroy the church to being the man that God uses in such a great dimension. It's mind-blowing. And all of a sudden, Paul's at the point where he feels he's gotten a little jammed up. He's in a situation, and he's being sent from one city. He's going to Rome because he's got to go before the government. He's got to deal with some situations at hand. But in order to get from point A to point B, he has to go by boat. And so he's on this ship, and this boat's going out, and it's sailing towards Rome. And on its journey, all of a sudden, a storm comes about. A tempest arises, and it gets really nasty, really fast, to the point where they know that the boat is going to sink, and they're going to have to take the boat and actually get it to get on land. But in the midst of this 14-day storm, where everybody thinks they're going to die, where everybody's going to be destructed, the angel of the Lord, an angel appears to Paul and says, Paul, do not be fearful, but be courageous, because all will be well. And see, in the midst of the storm, the Roman soldiers are like, kill them all. Kill every single one of these captives, these prisoners, Because in their mind is that if they're all dead, they won't get into as much trouble as if they're let go and some escape because the boat is breaking up and they're swimming to the land and they're scattering. And so their idea was like, kill them all. We won't be in trouble for that. But if they escape, we're in big trouble. But in the midst of them being told to kill them all, it says, the Bible says that a centurion says, no, don't kill them all. Don't kill them. Don't kill them. Don't kill them. Actually, what happens is the boat is run ashore and begins to break up. And those who can swim were told to swim to the beach. Those who weren't, who couldn't swim, they were told to grab logs and planks of the board and then make your way to the beach as well. And this is where the story picks up, because it's in the book of Acts, the 28th chapter. It says that they land on this island, and the island is known as Malta, roughly 320 miles from Rome. And here they are in Malta, and they get on Malta, and the people of Malta are known as barbarians. Some people say that they were cannibals. Some people say they were the most ruthless group of individuals. Some people say they were called barbarians because they didn't speak the Greek language. Needless to say, they're known as barbarians. And here they are, and this whole group of individuals, hundreds, are washed upon the shore. And the Bible says, it says that it was cold and rainy, and they were kind to those who landed on the ocean, on the beach. And so, when they get to the beach, it says that they begin to gather sticks. And they begin to build a fire because they're cold and they're wet. And then this is what happens. As Paul gathers an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake, some translations say a viper, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. See, it's known that snakes will play dead in the fall time. They'll look like a stick. They'll look like a piece of broken branch. And so as he picked it up, he just thought he picked up a part of the stick. And as he got close to the heat, it says the viper, it struck. Now, I looked at that scripture, I looked at that passage, and I'm like, wow, how unique that when the fire of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, when God begins to move in a greater dimension within me, the enemy doesn't like that. So what he does is he tries to strike because the heat of God's presence is becoming overwhelming in me. And those around me are sensing the heat, sensing God's presence, sensing that something is just not the way it was prior to what's happening. And so the viper strikes the fire, but what happens in our life is whether it's a plan of the enemy, whatever it may be, strikes, that the heat will not continue to build. And then it goes on and says this. It says, the people of the island saw this hanging from his hand and said to each other, he's a murderer. How do you get he's a murderer from a snake biting you? I'm still trying to figure that one out. He's a murderer. Holy cow. But it's amazing how people and people's perception of things will lead to how they view and believe things to be as true, even though they're not. And it goes on and says that though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live. And the story goes on and it talks about how he then is presented before, they're waiting for him to die, and he doesn't die. Now all of a sudden say, he's really not a murderer, he's actually a god. You're really not a murderer, you're now a god, let me worship you. I don't understand it, but this is what's really happening here. And so what happens is he goes before the governor of the island, the one who kind of runs the island, and all of a sudden he prays for some family members and they're healed. And then other sick people are brought to Paul and they're healed. Not because of who Paul is, but because of the fire of God that burns within him, being released out of him. See, the viper wants to take out the move of God. The viper wants to take out what God wants to do through and in you. The viper wants to hold you back and stop you from releasing what God has placed within you. See, the viper of God, the viper would want to try to stop Donna from taking her talents all the way to Uganda to release the love of Jesus to a bunch of tribal people in huts. See, the love of God would want to try to stop you from calling a friend that you know might be dying of a terminal disease, saying, listen, this may sound really weird from coming from me, but I love Jesus. Can I pray for you? See, so as the heat of God's presence begins to burn deeper within us, the viper wants to strike, and we need to beware of the viper. We need to understand that there's many types of poisonous snakes. As I get older, I'm finding myself to be more of a geek in the sense of, like, you know, weird things that I like to read and study about and find myself, you know, like stuff I would never would think I would read about. There's some really cool stuff about, like, snake stuff on different websites and different snake catchers and all this other stuff. But there's tons of poisonous snakes in the natural. You know, there's the black mamba. There's the Indian taipan snake. There's the coral reef snake that looks really pretty. And it's kind of bluish, and you just want to pet it. But the reality is if it strikes you, you're in trouble. There's the cobra. There's the death adder it's called. There's a ton of snakes. The rattlesnake, the viper, the horned head viper. I just saw online the other day there was a snake that had two heads. Now, I don't know if that was like photoshopped in, but it looked pretty cool if it was real. But there's a ton of venomous snakes that want to attack. And that's no different than you and I when we leave this building. Actually, let me rephrase that. That's no different than you and I even sitting in this building. When you and I advance in the kingdom of God, it riles things up. But the good news is that as the venom is trying to be injected, God has an anti-venom that overcomes the venom that would try to hold you back. See, the venom of a snake, they're known as neurotoxins. And there's another one that I thought I would remember and I totally forgot. There's neurotoxins and hemotoxins. And what's unique about these venomous toxins that the real snake has is that when it attaches itself and begins to go into the body, it causes some serious damage. See, what happens is it says that a lot of times it affects the circulatory system and the nervous system. It also attacks the tissues, begins to eat away the tissue. Gangrene can set in. It also says that it would cause a blurriness. You really can't see straight. You get confused and you don't know what's happening. It goes on and it talks about how not only is there a blurriness, but there's a numbness and a loss of consciousness. And I began to read through the symptoms of what happens when a snake bites me. Has anyone ever been bitten by a snake before, by any chance, in this place? You've been bitten by a snake. Man. I saw a snake in my wood pile a couple years ago. I ran and ran and then waited for my neighbor to come home and says, with a real serious face, I need your help. And he's like, what? I'm like, I need your help. He's like, what's wrong? I said, I have a snake in the wood pile. He's looking at me. I'm like, I need your help. Well, see, what's unique about the whole snake bite situation is that, you know, it causes these issues. But like the enemy, like what is opposite of God, it can cause us to lose the plan or the sight or the vision that God gave us for where he wants us to go. It can cause us to become blurry and numb even to the sensitivity of what God is doing and how God is moving. That God may be moving, but we're so numb to the sense and non-sensitive to the Spirit's move that we're missing what's happening. We're being robbed of a blessing. We're being robbed of an outpouring. We're being taken away from where God wants us to go. And so, but what's awesome is that God has the anti-venom for the snake venom. See, the snake venom brings death and destruction. You know, and then when I talk about, and I'm using symbolism as a viper attaching itself to us, well, the venom that would come can cause, you know, depression and oppression, can cause suicidal thoughts, anger, bitterness, hatred, worry, sadness, fear. These are all effects of what the venom can happen if we allow the venom to be circulating in us. And so what we need to do is understand that God has a venom for us that will help us and propel us forward. See, the snake's venom is one that would lead to self-destruction and spiritual devastation and destruction, where God's venom is one that leads to life and life more abundantly. But how do you not get bit? Before I get into the meat of the word here, how do we avoid being bit? Because, you know, actually the Red Cross and a couple other snake handling sites, they give you a rundown of how not to get bit by a snake. Think about that. And they tell you how not to get bit by a viper, how not to get bit by a rattlesnake, how not to get bit by a black mamba or a giant 12 and a half foot cobra. Do you know what the first one is, they say? Stay away from snakes. Stay away from snakes. That's common sense, right? So in other words, if I don't want to get bit by a snake, I have to remove myself from where the snakes are and from who the snake is. Now, I'm kind of talking in the natural as well as the spiritual. I'm kind of talking in the physical part of being a real snake as talking about those things in our lives that present themselves as a viper or as a snake. It says stay away from them. Don't allow them to be a part of who you are. Stop playing with the snake. I don't understand people who have pet snakes. I don't get it. That's just me. I went to my friend's, we went to see a friend of ours who in college was at Purdue University, and I swear they did it on purpose. But I got to sleep in the bedroom that had the 10-foot python. Can I tell you, I didn't sleep for 2 days. Because I don't care how thick the glass is and how heavy the cover is, that's, to me, that's just not normal, man. What are you feeding it? A rat? A rabbit? Really? You're feeding it mice and rats? Why do you have that snake? Because it's cool. No, it's not cool. It can wrap itself around you and eat you. There's nothing cool about that. But the first step is stay away. So in the spiritual, in our walk of who God wants us to be, we need to stop hanging around and playing in the snake pen of life around the people who we know are snaky. Anyone know snaky people? I know me some snaky people, right? And God says if you want to continue to grow and continue to bless and be blessed and continue to move forward and be propelled to where I want to take you to obtain the fulfillment of the plan and vision I have for you, there comes a time, my son, my daughter, that you got to stop playing with the snake. Because eventually the snake's going to turn and bite you. And he's going to stick its fangs in you. It's going to try to release a toxin, a neurotoxin, a hemotoxin that will stop you from going where I want you to go. You'll lose sight of where you're going and what I want you to do. You'll become numb to my sensitivity. You'll become numb to my voice, to my unction, to my moving all around you. It goes on and says this. It says, stay out of places that have high grass and heavily wooded areas because snakes like to hide. In other words, we need to stop going where we don't know what's happening or we can't see the fullness of what's going on. It continues on and it says this. It says that in order to not be bit, it says that we need to be alert and cautious. Yeah. We do need to be alert and cautious. When I went to school in Tulsa, we used to go fishing, stream fishing and pond fishing. And I don't know why we did this, because none of us really probably even knew how to work it, but we had a snake bite. We all had snake bite kits, you know, because, you know, back then we're like, I'm not sucking the poison out of your leg, man. No way. So we got these snake bite kits. But anywhere we walked, any stream that we walked in, anywhere that we went fishing off the beaten path, we always were cautious and alert where we were walking, because the last thing I wanted to do was take a step and have a rattler or some type of water snake attach itself to me, because I would have been like just rolled, curled up in a ball screaming, not staying calm like you're supposed to. But we're to be alert. And what's unique is in the Bible, throughout the Word, God tells us to be alert, to be ready, to be alert. And see, that's how we avoid the attachment of the snakes in our lives, is that we're alert
to what's around us. We're not playing with the snake. We're not walking in areas where it could be concealed and hidden. And then it goes on and it says this. It says, wear protective clothing. Wear protective clothing. Now, if I'm a snake handler, I'm wearing certain boots, I'm wearing certain pants, so if it strikes you, you know, you ever watch the snake shows on TV? There's like some channel that always has a snake show on, you know. And so they always wear the boots because they're walking in the rocks, and if the snake lunges out, a snake can jump half its distance of its length. Just in case, that's a trivia question. If you're on Jeopardy, it's worth $1 million, don't forget me. All right? Don't forget me. It can lunge half the distance of how long it is. So if it's 10 feet, it can lunge 5 feet. Just letting you know that. So they wear the protective gear. But the Bible tells you and I something, too. You know what he tells us? Put your armor on daily. Put your protective suit, your protective gear that you need to wear. Because the viper, the enemy, wants to attack. And he says, put the shoes on. Put the belt on. Put the breastplate on. Carry the shield. Put the helmet on. Grab yourself a weapon, the sword. Because when the viper attacks, you have protection and you have the ability to strike back and kill it. You have the ability to stop it from doing what it was sent to do. And so it says, wear your clothing, Ephesians. Ephesians talks about the clothing that you and I should wear, the protective clothing, as we move forward. And so I said all that to get to this point. That, you know, the anti-venom of God is available for us. And even like when I mentioned some of the venom parts of, you know, whether it's depression and addiction and all those things, you know, his anti-venom is healing and deliverance. Anger, bitterness, hatred, love, kindness, and goodness. These are all part of what God has given to us and will move through us. Worry, chaos, unrest, sadness, and fear. Well, he has the anti-venom, which is joy, which is gentleness, which is peace, which is patience, and it's available for you and I. It's right there. It'll overcome the venom that would try to affect us. It's the venom of unfaithfulness and no self-control is that of being faithful and under self-control because of God is leading and directing us. And so I wanted to share all that to get to this point today. I just want to share with you this morning is that I want to share that, you know what, there may be times, though, when the viper does attach itself. But I believe that there are some major ones that we need to understand right now. And if we can grab a hold of them before they sink the vein or the fangs in and begin to release the toxins and the neurotoxins, the hemotoxins, and every other toxin that will steal from you and your walk and your growth and your relationship with God. If we can do it before it happens, watch what will happen in your walk. And so what we need to do is understand that as Paul shook off the viper as it attacked him, you and I have that same opportunity. But I believe that there are some ones that really want to affect us quickly, because if they can affect us here, it will really begin to stunt us from growing forward. See, so I want to encourage you today to shake off the viper's bite of discouragement. See, discouragement is the lack or the loss of enthusiasm. It's the lack or the loss of enthusiasm. See, what happens is the enemy wants to attack and to strike, to steal your joy, to steal your happiness, to steal your peace and your comfort. And so what does he do is he attacks and he brings discouragement. Because how many people know that if you keep trying to do something or you're trying to get to a certain point and it's not happening, you're no longer joyful, you're no longer happy. And so a great ploy, a great venom, a great viper that wants to attach itself to you and I is that of discouragement. Because when we become discouraged and we allow discouragement to settle in and take residency and can take control of who we are, all of a sudden, we're walking down and going down a path that we don't need to be going down, or nor should we. And so we need to be aware that the enemy wants us to attack and bring discouragement to you and I, because when he steals our joy, how many of us know? How many of you have ever gotten up? I'm talking to all the parents here. All the parents. How many of you have ever gotten up to go to church and you got your car? And on the way to church, you had a family discussion. All right, y'all know where I'm going with this, right? When I say family discussion, I'm talking about you were thinking one thing, your children were thinking another thing. And your verbalization was not done in a tone, you know, that was pleasant, that was calm and quiet. And this family discussion got crazy up in the car. Anyone ever been there before? Now all of a sudden you're all riled up, right? And how many of you know that you got up this morning saying, I'm going to church and I'm joyful and I can't wait to worship Jesus and sing a song and pray and seek his face. But all of a sudden, from point A to point B, something went sideways and then you pulled into the church parking lot and you got into the church sanctuary and worship started and you're like, I really don't want to be here today. I don't want to be here today. My ride-in wasn't that good. And then you're looking at your mate, or you're looking at your kids, or you're thinking about them in the back. And everything that you woke up with, all the joy, all the excitement, all the expectation that you are getting ready to go to church with is no longer there. Why? Because the venom began to flow through you. And it's a ploy, it's a tactic. And so we must understand that it's going to continue to try to happen. Because when you and I live a life that's full of discouragement and disappointment and unrest, we're not who God wants us to be. We're not propelling and going forward in the direction God wants us to go. You know, what's unique is that, even Paul, here Paul is he's on this island and he's helping out and he's gathering the sticks and he's building the fire, and then Paul himself was attacked while helping out, while doing what was necessary. But what was unique is that Paul looks at the viper, it says, right? And he looks at it and he sees it there. Now he has a choice. What am I going to do? Am I going to be like, oh, Mr. Centurion, can you believe this? I don't even want to build this fire anymore. I'm just going to sit down. I'm going to just mope about what's happening. I'm just done. I'm just going to sit. No. It says he shook it off, and then he continued to move forward. He continued to do what was needed and what was necessary. And so discouragement may want to try to settle in. Discouragement may want to try to attach itself to you. We have to understand that it's there, know what it looks like, realize that it's happening, and do what Paul did. We got to shake that off. And we shake it off by being in the presence of God, by seeking the face of God, by spending time in him and in around him. God's promises will deliver you and will help you and I shake off that bite of discouragement. But what's unique is that not only will discouragement try to set its course on you, because when you're discouraged, your flames begin to grow dimmer and dimmer. But it's also the same as criticism and jealousy. See, the viper's bite of criticism and jealousy wants to attach itself to you. See, the critic wants to tell you that you're no good, that you're worthless, that you're really not who you think you are. You're actually not even who you think you are because of who God says you are. And so it tries to attach itself, because criticism is this. Criticism is the expression of disapproval of someone or something based on a perceived view. Is it no different than what we've seen with Paul? Paul gets bit by the viper, and they're like, oh, he must be a murderer. The critics rose up that day and said, he must be a murderer. Look, he got bit by a snake. It was a perceived view of somebody else placed on Paul. And what happens is you and I face the same perceived views in life. And those critics want to tell you what you should be doing or what you shouldn't be doing, or how you should dress or how you shouldn't dress, or how you should raise your kids or how you shouldn't raise your kids, or how you should spend your money or how you shouldn't spend your money. And what happens is when the critics come and we allow what they're saying, those words that they're speaking, those seeds that they're sowing to be planted within us, it affects us in a manner that we don't want to go down that road with, because we begin to listen to the critics' words and the critics' views of who we are over the word of what God says. And when we allow that to happen, all of a sudden, discouragement settles in. And discouragement is also part of that first bite that I was talking about. Do you see what's happening here? So now I'm discouraged, and now I'm listening to these critical views and opinions of who I am, and all of a sudden, everything that God has been doing is all of a sudden that flame is burning lower and lower and lower. And God's like, listen, We cannot allow the viper's bite of criticism to be a part of who we are, or jealousy. See, jealousy is the feeling or showing of envy of someone or of their achievements and advantages. Can I tell you that these two bites that go hand in hand are usually from the same person who sees what you have and knows what you're going through and sees the change in you, and so they're lashing out because they don't have what's going on and they don't want to see you advance and be left behind. So it's easier to be critical and easier to be jealous of what God's doing in your life in their mind than to actually get in the presence of God to allow Him to begin to change them. And so, but what we do, all of us have done it, myself included, is we listen to the critics, we listen to the jealous person saying things, and we attach ourselves to those words and to those things that we allow them to speak into our lives, and we take them as truth. We take them as that this is what is really happening. And yet, understand this, if it's not what God's saying, then I wouldn't listen to the critic or to the judgmental, jealous person. Because you know what happens? The flame burns lower and lower and lower. And see, God's saying, listen, you don't need to live in discouragement. You don't need to live with critics. You don't need to live with those who are jealous of what you're doing. You know, like I said, they said, no doubt this man is a murderer. Many were quick to judge. See, do you know what it is? I'll share it with you. You know what it is? Most of the time they're being critical. The viper of criticism and jealousy is attaching itself because it sees you as who you were and not who you are. Because it looks at the state that you're in right now and remembers who you were yesterday or 10 years ago. I had this happen yesterday. I was talking to people. We had a funeral here. I was talking to different people and different things were going on. And that happened yesterday. I ran into someone that I grew up with, a bunch of people. And one of the conversations, do you remember when? They wanted to go back when? They wanted to go back when? When this took place. Nothing wrong with going back there, but understand, back there is not who I am today. Who you were then is not who you are today. And so the critical judgmental spirit wants to come because you are passionately on fire in love with Jesus and it's coming out of you. They want to take you back to who you were before Jesus and say, I know they're not saved. I remember when. How can they love Jesus? I remember when. How can they pray and raise their hands in worship? I remember when. And you know what a lot of it is? Deep within people, they want to be able to be free to worship their Lord, unashamed, not worrying what other people will say. But they're allowing the venom to control. And so it's easier to lash out and try to pull someone to them instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to burn deeper and stronger within and rise out of the situation. So let me try to snake bite and let me try to attack and deposit some discouragement, deposit some criticism through my jealous spirit because I really want what you have. And see, God's like, listen, don't let those spirits and that bite attach to you because it only leads to destruction. It only leads to being pulled back. And then this is the last one. Very simply this. The viper's bite that we must shake off is one of low expectation. One of low expectation. Let me say it this way. If you have set the bar in your life or the expectations of where you want to go, and you can obtain it without God or the presence of God, you've set it way too low. You set it way too low. You have to shoot for the highest point. There are teachers all over this room, administrators. They will tell you. They will not sit in a room with a student and say, just shoot for the lowest passing grade you need. Just to get through. They will not do that. They will encourage. They will speak life. They will do everything possible to have that child view life and say, you know what? I want it to be up here. I want to shoot for the highest. I want to shoot for this mark. We will not grow in the flame of God's presence will not burn bright with a low expectation. We should not go to God saying, "Oh God, I've been thinking about this. And I'm okay if you just, you know, heal 10% of me. I'll settle for that. I'll settle for that, God. God, I'll just settle, you know, for just crumbs and just scraps." No, that's not who God is. And so we can't walk through life with that expectation of just settling. Just settling won't get you anywhere. It will not get you anywhere. You can't just settle. You have to have an expectation that is above and beyond, that needs the presence and the burning passion of the Spirit of God in us to obtain that goal or to wherever it may be. And I look at all the young people in the sanctuary today. Young people, please, do not set your bar low. Set it high. Do not just settle. Set it high. Set it high. Don't allow the venom to be injected into you. We all deal with these. We all deal with the snake bite of disappointment, of discouragement. We all deal with the snake bite of criticism and jealousy. We all deal with the snake bite of just settling and having a low expectation in life. But like Paul on the island of Malta, 320 miles away from his destination, that viper latched onto his hand. And he was like, "Not today. Not today. I got stuff to do. I got places to be. I got people I need to talk to in Rome. I got to get myself there." And he shook the viper off. And everybody around him said, "Oh, he's this, and oh, he's that, and oh, he's going to die, and oh, this is going to happen." And it didn't. God used him. God used him, and the way God used him, glory was brought to God the Father. And so we need to understand that. Beware of the viper. Stop playing with the snake. Stop playing with snakes. Be aware and alert of your surroundings. One other thing it says, don't lie. Don't lie with a viper. Don't sleep in a viper. See, because when you tent and you camp, I glamp. Our men's group has a big thing coming up, and they'll tell you, our men's leader, I'm like, running water, showers, and electric? They're like, yeah. I'm like, I'm in. He's back to one of our men's leaders back to back, right? I'm like, and then even yesterday at the men's breakfast, I'm like, "Hey, do you guys have an iron there too?" I glamp. Camping, oh. Just not me. There's nothing wrong with it, it's not me. But it says, don't lie and sleep. Don't sleep with vipers. Don't handle them. Don't play with them. Avoid them. Wear protective clothing. No, be aware of your surroundings and everything that's around you. When we spiritually understand those simple earthly concepts in the natural, watch what will happen. Let's stand to our feet. I want to pray for you. Watch what will happen. God is saying today, beware of the viper. Beware of the viper. Beware of the viper. Because in many of your lives, there are so many things happening. The fan and the fire of God's presence is burning stronger and stronger and stronger. We're getting praise reports and prayer requests of things happening and going on. And that just absolutely amazes me. It's because God is a good God who loves his children. And so as we grow and we move from being lukewarm to be passionately on fire from God, we must be aware of the vipers that are trying to pull you back into who you were or into a place that will rob or steal what God wants to do or will try to hold you back from your destiny. You have a God-given destiny. If you do not know that or have not discovered that yet, I encourage you to go to the store right now and buy a journal and get a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, or see me, I'll give you a Bible after service. And begin to every day read some of the passages in scriptures about destiny, about promises, about the future, and ask God, "God, where do I fit? What is my plan? What is my purpose, God?" And watch what will happen as it unfolds before you. As it unfolds before you, beware of the viper. God wants to bring life and life more abundantly. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Two opposite things, but because of the enemy's venom, God has an anti-venom. And so if the enemy does attach itself, immediately when we ask for God to come, he comes and he begins to inject his anti-venom into us into our spirit man and watch what will happen. Watch what will happen. Discouragement has no place in you or in your life. Words from critical, jealous people have no place in your life. Low expectations of where you're going to go or where you should be or what's happening has no place in your life. It has no place. It has no place. Do not settle and allow that viper to stay attached. Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you in this place today? Let's just close our eyes. Father, in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for your word today. Father, I thank you that you have revealed to us, Father, some serious bites, some serious vipers that want to attach or the venom that would want to attach itself to us and pull us away from who you are, pull us away from the fanning of the flame, pull us away from the embers burning stronger and hotter, pull us away from the Spirit of God consuming us and moving out of us. Father, today I declare and I speak freedom into the lives of your children here who have been affected by the venom of jealousy and of a critical spirit, words that have been spoken to them. Father, in Jesus' name, I would pray that you begin to release the sting of those words. Father, let them know that that is not what you are saying or calling them to be or who you call them to be. Father, remove that negativity from them. And Father, begin to deposit the words of who they are according to how you see them. Father, we no longer will settle for just settling. We no longer will just take the crumbs. We will no longer look at life as just getting by. All I need to do is just get by. But Father, you've called us to have a large expectation. Father, we will not allow the venom of low expectation for our lives, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our parents, for our church, for our schools, for our administrators, for our teachers, for our doctors, for our attorneys, for our government. We will not allow that attitude of low expectation to rule over us. Father, help us to see and raise the bar, raise the standards in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Father, we will not allow the venom of discouragement to steal our joy any longer. We will not allow it to steal our peace and our comfort and our rest any longer. But Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, I would ask that you would come upon us this day. And Father, you would shake off and remove the vipers and those things that are trying to attach itself to us, that would try to come to kill, to steal, and to destroy that which you are building, that which you are doing within us. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit and the fire of you, God, would burn brighter and stronger in us this day, that as we leave here, the illuminating light of the fire would be seen by all those around us. Father, I pray that you would help us to lead those critics and jealous ones to have the freedom and the ability to be who they are in you, God. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the word. Father, I pray divine blessing upon every person here. Father, watch over them as they travel. Let them have an amazing week as we go forward, as we go back to the workplace. Father, bless them. Bless their children. Bless their families. Father, I pray that the windows of blessing would open up and be poured and would pour through upon them this day. Father, thank you for what is going on and what is happening and all around us. We love you, we honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. All right. Thank you for being here. I'm just going to dismiss you guys. A lot of good things happening. Check the website. A bishop will be preaching next Sunday with us. We're excited about that. He's got a word. He's like, Pastor, we go through this. We're like, are we talking to each other as father and son? Or are we talking to each other as colleagues? We're like, Pastor, I got a word when you're ready. I'm like, how's Sunday? All right. So I'm excited. Next week, Bishop Tom will be speaking at both services for us. And so come expecting. Bring a notebook. Write some notes. Because God's going to use him next week in a great dimension. Amen? All right. God bless you. Cafe Sunday. If you got time to stay, go ahead and visit the back and meet some new people. Have a safe week.